Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Live from the University of Minnesota, you are listening to Culture Q on Radio K. The Twin Cities Arts and Cultural Program bringing you all the stories from Minnesota that you won't hear anywhere else. I'm your host, Matthew Curtis, and thank you so much for joining us. This week we are taking the power back. The man, the system, whatever you want to call the all-powerful force in society that you glare towards when things don't work out. We're fighting it. We're protesting and contesting in two stories from our producers. In the first, Parker Lemke tries his hand at student protests. Later, Aaron Bolton gets in gear to argue parking tickets in the cities. And I talk to Sam Siegel about the weekly release spotlight for Radio K. And it all starts right now on Culture Q. Throughout history, college campuses have prepped young minds for the world. An informal part of this education has involved fostering an environment for making dissenting opinions known. Parker Lemke recently attended a University of Minnesota protest to examine how modern student protesters compare to their activist predecessors.
On November 2nd, 2014, not everyone descending upon the University of Minnesota campus had come to enjoy a day of Sunday football. As the Minnesota Vikings prepared to take on the Washington Redskins, a mass of protesters assembled outside TCF Bank Stadium to denounce what they saw as the visiting team's offensive name. Among the more than 3,000-strong crowd outside the stadium were students from both the University of Minnesota and other institutions. They included Zebius Alexander Johnson from Red Lake, a member of the campus-based American Indian Student Cultural Center.
The term Redskin is rooted in genocide since the beginning of this country. This term holds so much racism and hurt and pain, and so we're protesting against the pain that this team and the name and the mascot bears.
With her experience gained from protesting against Washington's football team in front of the Metrodome last year, she and her group adopted a mix of strategies to make themselves heard.
We all have different signs. There's going to be dancers, drummers. There's going to be speakers. We're chanting many different chants, mostly just trying to show them that we're here and we care.
The university has seen its fair share of protesting students recently. In March 2013, for instance, students partnered with union members to rally for lower tuition and administrative cost reductions. More than a year later, a crowd of about 200 people protested against the former United States Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice's campus visit. Through these actions, the students tapped into a long tradition of social activism on college campuses.
Four persons, including two women, were shot and killed on Kent State University's campus today during renewed demonstrations involving hundreds of students. The university was ordered closed as disorders continued for more than 2 hours. The four persons were killed during a clash between students and members of the Ohio National Guard outside Taylor Hall near the University Commons, where an Army ROTC building was burned down Saturday night.
The death of four young protesters at Kent State University in 1970 galvanized an era already known for massive student unrest. Don Weiss, a University of Minnesota professor who was active in college protests during the 60s, said three main issues fueled the protest environment.
That was the generation, the decade of the Vietnam War, civil rights, and the environmental movement. It's difficult to describe the intensity of those three issues. You remember at that time, we had a draft. So almost all of the males were actively engaged. They knew that they were going to potentially be called up to serve in the war effort, and that put everyone into the mindset of being a part of it.
Much has changed since his time at Ohio State University, where he saw firsthand how campuses served as centers for national debates and conversations.
That intensity of student engagement has never occurred again. But there's a different framework now, in terms of we have, the internet, we have a whole new way of social conversation, but I don't think it leads to the same type of face-to-face organizing that increases the intensity to take action. And I've asked myself a little bit about that, and have talked to students about it as to why that's the case. And what I tend to hear back is they don't believe that they can make a difference.
The protesters at TCF Bank Stadium seem to think they could make a difference, at least according to ZBS Alexander Johnson.
We've been planning this for basically the entire year. I think we started in March planning our protest. We're hoping to change the name and to change the mascot with these demonstrations.
Having such a specific goal in mind, however, is something that Professor Weiss says can hinder today's protest efforts.
But on the other hand, you see, that is a very narrow approach to what is a much broader issue. It's racism. You know, what are we doing about that issue in this country? So it's not about, that's just an example, that's a symptom of the issue. So a single event doesn't make a difference. Is basically organized for action over a long period of time that really makes make a difference. In other words, a decade plan.
Of course, single events can still inspire passion among young people.
The pollution from the rivers emptying into and draining into Lake Erie, we're having a major impact on the water quality in that lake. And what really struck a lot of us and really what got a lot of students really pretty energized around the environmental issue was that the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught on fire and burnt down a bridge. For some reason, that resonated in a way and really rallied students out.
And although many tried and true tactics for voicing dissent remain available to young activists today, there are some modern tools that can give them an advantage.
I look at my smartphone, my iPad, and said, oh my gosh, if I had had that in the 60s, we could really have made a difference, you know. And you just think about the power that young people have in their hands today with this technology. As I tell them, I see no excuses.
For Culture Q, I am Parker Lemke.
Producer Aaron Bolton recently received a ticket for what he thought was bogus. For the first time, he entertained the idea of contesting a parking ticket. He takes us through why you're getting these irritating tickets and the process you can go through to fight them. What did you
hear me say? It was a typical night spent at my girlfriend's. Arrive at 9:30, park in my typical spot, spend the night, and wake up the next morning at 7 for class. She was leaving at the same time, so she drove me to my car parked about a block away.
I don't know, middle of the road seems like a good place to park.
When we pull up to my car, she asks,
is that a parking ticket?
This is Nellie. It was a parking ticket, and this is a spot I park in every time I come to her place.
I'll see you later, okay?
Have fun.
Yeah, fun. Park parallel to the curb within 12 inches in direction of traffic. Park where signs prohibit.
I walked up and down the block. No temporary parking restriction signs, just 2-hour parking, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. I couldn't measure my car's distance from the curb, so I tried my foot. It didn't fit between them. This is bogus, I thought. This is the first parking ticket I've received that truly made me think the officer may be wrong. So I wait the 5 required business days to call.
Welcome to the Ramsey County District Court Customer Service Line.
Ramsey District Court, this is Tony. How can I help you?
I asked him how to begin contesting a ticket.
You can either come in as a walk-in to talk to a hearing officer to contest this ticket, or I can set an appointment for you.
And if I come in as a walk-in?
If you do decide to come in as a walk-in, I just stress that you come in as early as possible. It's a first-come, first-served basis.
How much time and effort would this take? Is saving $36 really worth it?
They could be here early in the morning and wait all day and not see a hearing.
This is
Susan Downs, I'm the manager of the Traffic Violations Bureau at Ramsey District Court.
I've never contested a ticket before, and could have easily made an appointment, but I decided to try my luck as a walk-in, so I took a drive over to St. Paul, parked in a ramp. Wait, this started with the parking enforcement officer. What does it feel like to be the one giving the ticket?
Sergeant Paulus.
St. Paul Police spokesman Paul Paulus.
I also look at it as a twofold thing. One is education, the second one's enforcement. Because what we try to do is educate first and foremost.
Right after this interview, I had to go out and move my car out of 1 hour parking to avoid another ticket. And as I was looking for a spot, I saw this guy talking with a parking enforcement officer. So I got out of my car and asked him what was going on.
I was actually looking at grabbing the same spot that I'd grabbed in the past.
By the way, this is Phil Bontrager, and he was in a rush when I met him, so we met at a coffee shop later.
But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't covering over the driveway, because I'd been towed away the last time that I parked there and was too close. Since she happened to be there, I was like, hey, you know, might as well ask.
The parking enforcement officer was doing exactly what Sergeant Paulus said they try to do. Educate first.
I was actually too close, technically speaking, but because of the snow, they don't expect us to be able to see where the curb ends, so she would let it go. And I think also because I asked her, she said it was fine.
So she's pretty helpful about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and she gave me her badge number and reminded me to always get badge number if somebody ever tells me that I'm good parking somewhere. That way I can contest a ticket if somebody else gave me a ticket. I could say, hey, badge 45 told me it was okay.
So I still need to contest my ticket. I drive to St. Paul, park, walk into Ramsey District Court, pass the security checkpoint, then find out where I need to go.
Left side of the hallway, room 100.
Talk to the violations clerk.
I'm just hoping to walk in.
Okay. Go inside the door with the red bow, fill us out if you want to, and then give this to the hearing officer when they call your name, okay?
Okay.
I entered the small, bleak waiting room filled with about 7 other people and waited. And waited until an hour later. My name is finally called. I sit across the desk from the hearing officer, and he looks up the ticket. I explain my situation. I arrived around 9:30, parked my typical spot, and left around 7 a.m. the following morning. He said his best guess was,
there were temporary signs that you didn't see when you parked there in the dark, and they were gone when you left.
I thought I would have seen the signs, but it was dark, so I asked Sergeant Paulus if temporary restrictions are patrolled more often.
That's also patrolled by Public Works. They are sort of sworn to write those tickets. They will usually go down a block before the trucks get there, and they actually do the enforcement of that.
I may have missed the sign, so who knows? And I wasn't able to talk to the parking enforcement officer who gave me the ticket. I tried. As for parking within 12 inches of the curb, I didn't have a ruler, so I couldn't be sure. Since this was my first parking ticket in St. Paul, the ticket was indefinitely suspended. I didn't owe anything. After $6 to park in the ramp and about 2 hours of my time, I saved $30. Was it worth it? I don't know, but I don't plan on getting another ticket anytime soon. For Culture Q, I'm Aaron Bolton.
My name is Matt Curtis. You are listening to Culture Q on Radio K, and we're talking to copywriter for Radio K, Sam Siegel, about the weekly release spotlight, the album that we highlight every week. How are you doing, Sam?
Good. How about you, Matt?
I'm not too shabby. What is the album this week?
This week, it's actually an EP. It's called Things I Forgot by Sun Little. Sun Little is a R&B sort of R&B singer-songwriter, and there's definitely elements of blues and soul and electronic music in there. Really kind of a multi-dimensional artist.
And this is his debut EP.
This is his debut EP under the name Sun Little. His real name is Aaron Livingston. He's been around for a long time. In 2004, he did a track with fellow Philly natives, The Roots. Just one tune with them. And then in 2011, I know he put out a record with RJD2. But both of those were under his name. And so this is kind of, I want to say, a reinvention or a second start for him as Sun Little, and it's absolutely killer.
Did you check out his old stuff and kind of compare?
Yeah, and this, it's a little bit more, it seems like there's a little bit more of a revivalist kind of mindset on this stuff, although I wouldn't compare it to something like Sharon Jones or anything on the Daptone label. It's very, very current. It's incredible how much this album manages to both occupy the past and the present at the same time. For instance, his voice, it's got this real gravelly quality to it that reminds me a lot of a guy like Otis Redding. But then he does a lot of multi-track vocals and things like that that sort of sounds like Frank Ocean or D'Angelo.
So do you feel like the qualities of modern music play in well with the themes of soul music?
Yeah, it's a really, really nice synthesis, I think. I mean, there's a certain darkness to it that isn't necessarily there on a lot of old soul. I mean, there are times where it sounds sort of like 808s and Heartbreak, the Kanye album, where it's this very desolate kind of skeletal synthy sound. But at the same time, there's still always this backbone of like classic Motown kind of sound to it. It's just this great middle ground that he manages to occupy.
And what song do you think captures that the best on the album?
I would probably say the song Your Love Will Blow Me Away When My Heart Aches. I think this song might have one of the best just straight up pop hooks of the entire year. I really, really like this song.
Your Love Will Blow Me Away When My Heart Aches. This is by Sun Little from the album Things I Forgot, the weekly release spotlight for Radio K. You can check it out online at radiok.org. Here it is right now on Radio K Culture Q.
When my heart aches, I'm drowning, pain won't go away. And in my cups, brown fills my brain, won't go away. These five yellow girls out on parade, asphyxiate. Still stuck in a cage, trying to ply my trade, won't go away. And I'm afraid your love will blow me away. Am I dumb? Oh, cause I numb the pain. Am I just another runaway? Yeah. When shadows creep across my floor, won't go away. You've had enough, but still one more, won't go away. My engine gun and thunderbirds asphalt won't erase. Still trapped in a box trying to clear my name, won't go away. I'm afraid
your love
will blow me away. Am I dumb? The pain, am I just another runaway? Runaway,
yeah.
Runaway,
yeah.
This African Kush we're bubbling won't burn away. My moon, my queen, been gone since. So I lie away. My easy death in ecstasy, my hands still shake. When my heart aches, I'm drowning, pain won't go away. I'm afraid
your love
will blow me away. Am I down? Oh, cause I numb the pain. I'm afraid
your love
will blow me away. Am I down? Oh, cause I numb the pain. Ever just another runaway. Runaway.
Your Love Will Blow Me Away When My Heart Aches. That is from Sun Little and his debut EP, Things I Forgot. You can check out a full review of the album by copyrighted Sam Siegel, who is next to me writing the album review right now. He's very excited about it. And check that out tonight on RadioK.org and also download a free track from the album.
My name is Markita, and I'm a producer here at Culture Q. On this week's Soundscope, I'll be playing some sick songs for you to listen to when you're ill. The first time you're sick in college, it's a huge milestone. When you're ill, you just want to be at home. But since you don't have your mom or dad or cat nearby to help nurse you back to health, music is where you go to seek comfort. Dreams by Fleetwood Mac helps remind me of my own ma and pa and always makes me feel just a little bit better. Sufjan Stevens' I Want to Be Well is as much about mental health as physical, but it's still a good listen nonetheless. If there were a way to sort of musically mirror the downward spiral you fall through when you're sick, Young Bride by Midlake would be just that, but in the most beautiful and best way possible. When you reach the bottom of that hole, or the height of your sickness, things can get pretty gloomy and you start preparing for the worst. Even if it's a little bit overdramatic, which is why last time I was sick, I decided if I died, I wanted When You Come Back Down by Nickel Creek to be played at my funeral. I'll still be there when you come back down. When you come back down. But when I was feeling down, Wayne Coyne and the other fellows from The Flaming Lips were there to help pick me up with the song, Do You Realize? That's it. Those are my chicken noodle and soup songs for your sick musical soul. Do you realize?
You've been listening to Culture Q on Radio K, airing every Sunday at 6 p.m. bringing you all the stories of Minnesota that you won't hear anywhere else. Tonight you hear the voice of Aaron Bolton, Parker Lemke, Sam Siegel, and Matthew Curtis. Our producer Kitty Bolin and Parker Lemke, our music reporter is Aaron Bolton, our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and I'm your host and managing editor, Matthew Curtis. You can check us out on RadioK.org, PRX, and iTunes. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. See you next Sunday at 6 p.m. and thank you for listening.